That gets you a B, huh? Interesting. It's 97.1. Good morning. Jim Costa, Jeff Rieger in today. Gov and Greg behind the glass. You heard Luke Sloan on the updates. Boy, is the bar low.
The bar is low.
You heard something in the Tiger press box this week multiple times. It may be a popular opinion. I don't understand it. We'll get to it. First couple phone calls.
All right.
The death of rock and roll. John in Detroit. John, good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad you brought this up. I'm 69. I've been to thousands of concerts. My wife used to hate how much money I spent on concerts. And I went to see Sammy Hagar do Van Halen 3 times last year, once in Cleveland, once in Toronto, and once in Pine Knob in 1 week, just because I knew in a couple more years, no more concerts.
Fair.
And the next good concert that's coming is Rod Stewart. It's August 12th. And he, you know, he's 81, 82 years old.
God, Rod Stewart's not really rocking. Maggie,
The Faces was good. They were kind of Stones, you know, back in the day. The Faces did a lot of good music back in the day. And it's like, you go see a band now. We went to see Roger Daltrey a few years ago at Meadowbrook, and he did The Who, and he was great. And like you said, there's no more. It's gone. This is it. This is, you know, classic rock is dead. It sucks.
Well, that rock is definitely dead. Okay.
Are you getting the confirmation you wanted? Everybody's agreeing with
you. The problem is, I mean, I guess, but like John and I are two different people. Like I feel he's 69. I'm 49.
Yeah, you're talking like someone who's 69 today.
How dare you? A lot of people agree with me.
I know they do.
Resonating with a lot of people. Okay.
More than one thing can be true. Texter did say they checked out that Anxiety song. They said it's the worst song they've ever heard.
I just did. It's not great.
Dochi is the artist, not Charlie XCX.
Yeah.
I think it gives me anxiety.
Okay. Let's get to Kalen in Ann Arbor. Kalen, what's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I was on my way to work this morning and did want to give you a little bit of hope about the rock and roll situation. Now, granted, it's 1 foot in the grave, and I'm not about to complain otherwise. However, Styx and Toto have been making music, I want to say, since their latest releases were late.
Styx and Toto. But, Kalen, this is what I'm talking about, and I totally understand what you're saying, man. But, like, my God, 20 years ago, it was always about the next band, kicking a little ass, having fun on the road, wrecking hotel rooms. Now, I think everybody just does yoga.
You know, this is the culprit. This is who's getting most of the blame. Imagine Dragons. The baton was handed to them, and this person says now they're just Nickelback.
I mean, that is fair.
They had a chance
to Imagine Dragons.
No, but they were probably the most recent mainstream super band, and I don't think anybody really likes them.
What about Panic in the Disco? Are they rock and roll?
It's more punk rock. Like
I dig those guys.
Fall Out Boy.
Okay, see,
Green Day. Like
they're
those
older.
Are little. Well, they're younger than some of the names that have come up in the last half hour.
That is very true.
Hey,
my big beef though is like the guitar, the bass, the lead singer, and the drummer are dead. Like that model, which gave me so much joy, and I was so drunk to. It's dead. That's my big problem. Like, I agree with the one caller. I want to go to a concert, get blasted, sing my heart out, and go home. Like, you don't do that anymore.
No, and it's funny. I just saw this. I should have brought this up earlier. I saw on social media this week, someone posted that Blink-182 is oldies music now.
Oh, geez.
You know what I mean? Like, if you need a context of, like, I mean, they play that at the college bar when I was in college, and it wasn't new at the time. So I guess maybe it is oldies now.
This topic's depressing the hell out of me.
It is. So let's move on.
Let me just say this one text that came in, and it sums it up beautifully. I just saw Foreigner at Caesar's Windsor.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, so all right. If you want to see these bands, that's where you got to go. Like, you got to go to Ramada Inn Saturday night.
You got to go to the Soaring Eagle.
You're probably saving money on it, though. Not paying the big concert prices. Maybe that's your silver lining.
I guess.
All right, so you are at a lot of these games at Comerica Park, and there's chatter in the press box, and I've seen you in that press box. You can't shut up.
What does that mean?
You are like a court jester. Like, you are the life of the party.
That's not true. I don't say a word.
Right, you're just quiet.
I am.
The one time a day you don't talk. Right.
Thank you for that.
What has been discussed in the press box, and maybe this is something people in the city agree with?
So it's weird, Jim, because the trade deadline is on the 31st. So it's this month. Like, after the All-Star game, it's nothing but trade deadline talk every day on 97.1 The Ticket, trying to figure out what Scott Harris is going to do. And there is this growing sentiment and work with me here. And I've heard this conversation twice in one day, and I've heard listeners on 97.1 The Ticket talk about it too. And it's simply, Scott Harris needs to go get high leverage relievers. We agree with that, right?
Yes.
Yes. Like a fireballer, swing and miss guys, the pitch in the late innings.
New shapes and velos and all that.
Because last year's bullpen probably not working as well as it did last year. The other sentiment is maybe you get a starting pitcher. And then there's the belief by a lot of people, and again, conversation twice in the Comerica Park press box over the last couple days, you don't need an offensive piece. You don't need the right-handed bat. You don't need to waste your prospects on offense because you have a top five offense, a top five run differential, a top five home run team, and more than anything, and this line has come up a couple times, and it kills me, where are you going to play him?
Okay.
That's what people say. If you trade for a bat, where are you going to play him? Because people are in love with this offense and this team. And every time I hear it, I bite my tongue because I don't want to get into an argument in the press box.
You?
Yeah, I don't argue. I just pretty much sit there and take it. But my God, dude, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Where are you going to play him? You don't want to get better? You have a once-in-a-lifetime, or at least 41-year opportunity to win a World Series, and you're telling me you're good with this offense? And they've been great. I'm not saying they're not, but how can you argue with the belief to get better?
Are they better than the Dodgers?
No.
Okay, then you need to add.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, like, to me, like,
extinguish that pretty quickly.
Beginning, middle, and end of the conversation. Are you the best roster in baseball? I know they have the best record. Are they the best roster in baseball?
No
it's the Dodgers.
And
in a seven-game series, I'd take the Dodgers over the Tigers. So what can you do to bridge the gap? You add, and some of that's in the bullpen. I think that's the primary need. But the idea that this offense is perfect, flawless, there's no need for any upgrades at all. Now, I think there are fewer guys that would be upgrades because of how good they are.
Sure.
But there are still guys who would be upgrades. And I'm not going to do the Bregman routine. Like, Suarez is a power hitting third baseman.
Yeah, with 27 home runs.
One swing of the bat can flip an inning in the postseason.
Well, the other thing too
is you wouldn't want to add that guy because what? It displaces who? McKinstry plays all over. So don't do this. Make me pick between both. You can have both.
Well, that's how this team is. I'm making the point that when the postseason starts, and you saw it last year a little bit, it would be the most heart-wrenching thing, gut-wrenching thing, if the offense went away. And there's a possibility that happens, that the bats disappear, you're going against better pitchers.
Well, think about
this. And next thing you know, you're popped in the postseason because you didn't do enough offensively.
McKinstry's having the best year of his career by far.
100%.
If you looked at the last two seasons compared to this season, you'd worry about a drop-off.
Yes.
Javi Baez having the best year he's had in several seasons.
Torkelson, too.
Torkelson. And maybe they all hit. But why wouldn't you add reinforcements just to be safe? You don't have Skubal locked up beyond the next two seasons here. There is a finite opportunity here. And I know they believe they're very young and they'll be good for a very long time, but this may be their best crack at it with Skubal.
I don't
especially
think there's any question.
At this price, even if you extend him, it's going to come at the cost of other people. This may be your best shot at it. You have multiple chances. I'm fine with that. This may be your best shot at it.
But here's what people say as to why not to add offense, okay?
Yeah.
Here's what people are most worried about. And I've gleaned this from the conversations that I did not take place in because I just sat there and listened. Number one, they don't want to F up the team chemistry. People are truly worried about if you bring in an outsider that comes in and maybe plays every day. Let's be honest. They got one guy that plays every day. It's Riley Green. Other than that,
Torque plays every day.
Okay, fair. Torque. Everybody else is replaceable. They pinch hit for fifth inning and on. Like, the flexibility that I know they love, but it's not the worst thing in the world to have an everyday third baseman that can actually have a little pop, good defensively, and then you could obviously put a Zach McKinstry in other spots, in right field, at shortstop, in center field.
A pinch runner late in a ballgame.
Yes.
We just saw that
there
on Sunday.
There you go. I mean, he's very valuable. So people are worried about the chemistry. Do you buy that?
No.
Okay, here's another thing.
So we had Scott Harris on last. John asked him about that, and it is a consideration for the guys they trade for. They do want good clubhouse guys.
Right. All about the culture.
Fine. But I'm not worried that they could trade for someone that would upend what A.J. Hinch has built and what these guys believe in. I mean, do you really think one guy, like, they're not going to bring in a jerk? what's someone's going to get upset if they, that's the other thing. Jake Rogers says, play Dingler. He's playing better than me.
Right.
You think someone in that clubhouse is going to get upset if they had a player who's playing better than them? The tone's already been set. We just want to win. I'll play a new position. I'll sit the pine. Just give me good players to play with.
Look at the so-called, and he was never a malcontent, but we kind of thought he was, Javi Baez, making the most money. He has the biggest contract. I'll play center field. I'll play shortstop. I'll play third base. So I don't worry about the culture.
Long-term deal. Long-term deal for Cole Keith. I know it's not for...
Second base, yeah, third base, yeah, first base,
first base,
DH.
Wherever you need me.
Okay, so you don't buy the chemistry, the culture.
I think they have a good culture and they have a good chemistry, and I think if you drop someone into that, those guys get it. They just want to win.
The second thing I heard, offensive players will cost more, prospect-wise, than relievers will.
Okay, then we need to have a conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People are worried about the prospect because
they're right. They're right. Relievers are the cheapest thing to add at the deadline. Why would the Tigers be afraid to give up prospects? They have the best system in baseball. They could give up any two players and still have one of the best systems in all of baseball. The cup runneth over. They're going to run into some squeezes at the AAA and AA level
regardless,
where guys aren't going to make the 40-man. So get out in front of it. You pick who you want to give up and go get someone who helps you right now.
The third thing people say is simple. The offense is good enough.
Okay.
There you go.
What do you guys think? Is this, Rieger, and I can't believe this, this notion that they are in a position where they shouldn't add a bat. Do you guys agree with that?
It's not. Don't need offense.
Don't need offense. It's 97-1. Tigers win again. Go for the sweep against the Rays later today. Jeff Rieger is in, and he brought up something he's heard in the press box. Not once, not a one-time fleeting thought, but a recurring theme.
It's a growing trend, Jim.
The Tigers don't need to add a bat because they don't want to mess with the chemistry. They're just flat out good enough right now. What was the other reason?
They don't want to pay the prospects.
The premium.
Yes, but, because offense is going to cost you more than an arm, probably. Okay,
there was the ridiculous Skeens trade that was floated by ESPN yesterday where the Tigers give up Clark and McGonagall and Keith and all these other dudes. In that blurb they wrote, even after this deal, the Tigers would have one of the best farm systems in all of baseball. The cup runneth over. They have so many prospects. That's partly why they're there. They're not all going to turn into big leaguers. If you think McGonagall's going to be Jacob Wilson and you want to keep him, fine. Go down the list. There's going to be the seventh, eighth, ninth prospect in this system that you could harness into contributors on a team fighting for a World Series and still keep your Clarks and McGonagalls. They have so many prospects. The idea that you don't need to add a bat, well, those are two different conversations.
But you know what it is, though? I mean, people are still living 38 years ago when John Smoltz was given away for Doyle Alexander. That is true, by the way.
Okay, but can we do a more modern conversation?
Is there a more modern conversation,
I
though?
Won't trade Cameron Maybin and Andrew Miller because they're going to be studs. I don't care how good Miguel Cabrera is.
Right, exactly.
That's who you sound like.
Like, I honestly don't think there's a modern-day comp of a guy you gave away, a prospect you gave away that you truly regret. Like Eugenio Suarez? You gave away him. I mean, like, honestly, like, who'd you give away that you regret giving away? And by the way, if it gets you a World Series or in the World Series, I give away anybody. I don't care.
Ticket Texter says the Brewers showed last night we need a high leverage reliever to close out the Dodgers. Who's to say the Dodgers will make the World Series? The Tigers are winning it all.
Okay, fair enough. But the National League is better than the American League. It's that simple. Like, give me the AL teams. Go ahead. That scare you. Go ahead.
None of them scare me.
Toronto, scary Houston, little scary. Other than that, who?
Right, and the Yankees are probably in that conversation too.
I'm not saying I'm scared
of any of them, but the tier of teams at the top, yeah.
I got you.
In the National League, you're going to run through a murderer's row. I know. And most likely it's the Dodgers. And that's, by the way, who you should be chasing. You can't build the team on the assumption that the best team's not going to be there. You have to prepare like the best team in baseball is going to be staring you face to face at the end of October.
But even if it's not LA, like, the National League's a bitch. Yeah. Like, the Chicago Cubs are a scary team, and I know you took a series from them from Comerica Park, but it would be the most heartbreaking thing ever to see your offense go all 06 Tigers in the World Series because you didn't upgrade the bats.
Or 2012 Tigers.
Like, there you go.
It. We've had loaded lineups that have gone cold in the playoffs. Last year's Tigers team in games 4 and games 5 couldn't drive in runners.
No, you're right.
They stranded a ton of guys. And you know what they did? They struck out a ton. So you can't do your first to third thing when the ball doesn't get put in play.
And by the way, this team strikes out, top six team in the game in striking out, and yeah. I'm not trying to bash them by any means, but...
And if you say Suarez adds to that and you don't want Suarez, fine, but the idea that you don't want to bat at all because, quote, we're good...
Well, here's the other thing.
I didn't know that we had constructed the 27 Yankees and we're good. There's
right.
always ways to upgrade. And Rieger, it may be that there's not 100 guys that make this team better. Right? I think they're very good. There's not 100
sure,
players that
I
make
agree.
This team better. But there may be four or five
but
that you should kick around.
They'll tell you, and Benetti says it at every broadcast, they are on the verge of breaking their offensive record, like ever. So
they can't get better. That's all I ask. You can't get better?
Well, your manager is the puppet master, right?
Right.
Like,
I trust him to juggle it.
He is the king of flexibility. So if you bring in a bat, even to get another righty-lefty situation late in the game, and AJ's so good at making sure to play chess instead of checkers.
Yeah.
But to bring in a guy that can actually help you offensively, I think it's a must. A lot of people disagree.
248-539-9797. Do they need to add a bat? Overheard in the press box a couple times. The answer is no. Texter says the Tigers need two good bullpen arms. Not great, just good. And they need to add a bat, Al and Macomb. I'd phrase it like this. I think if they add relievers, this team is built to get to the World Series.
Yes.
To win the World Series, that's where the impact bat puts you over the top. The arms get you there, the bats win it.
I'm with you. I agree. I do wonder, though, because the bullpen's been much better since the June blow-up, and we'll ask AJ about it.
Yeah.
I do wonder how many arms do you add in the pen, because I'm of the belief you need a swing-and-miss guy. You need a guy that can get in there, throw 99, high-leverage, big-time situation. Like last year, they had a bunch of guys that you could trust in any situation. They had a guy for every situation.
They did.
This year, I mean, Bo Brisky is in the minors. Jason Foley is unfortunately done for the season. Sean Gunther, the ground ball king, in the minors. Hanafy and Herter haven't been as effective. Holton, gotten better of late.
Lately, yes.
Not that effective, and you need your lefties to be good. So they need to add a reliever, maybe two, but they need to be big relievers, and they need a bat.
People that say the offense doesn't need help are the same people that said, wait till Vierling comes back. Vierling has done nothing since returning from injury.
I mean, to be fair, though.
It's still...
Yes.
It's only a handful of...
Kind of the same with Parker Meadows. Yeah. Both those guys aren't hitting, but both those guys just got back.
But are we still within, like, a month? In other words, like, the ramp up of spring training that they did not have.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to cast them as, like, non-contributors because they're off to slow starts.
And by the way, everybody else is hitting.
Yeah. They pick each other up. Like, Cole Keith wakes up. He's hitting damn near 340 the last 30 days.
He's unreal.
Rieger, the cat lover, has no idea what this team is. They don't need a bat. They need an arm. Team chemistry is key, Ian Canton.
See, that right there is crazy because if you believe Scott Harris and AJ Hinch set up this chemistry and culture, then they're going to trade for a guy that fits the culture.
Yeah.
I won't worry about that. I mean, they're not bringing in a malcontent.
No.
They're not bringing in Rafael Devers, and next thing you know, he's missing a meeting with Alan Trammell. You hear that story?
I didn't.
Rafael Devers gets traded to San Francisco. The day he gets traded, he's scheduled to take BP and take fielding practice with none other than Will Clark, who's a god in the Bay Area. Devers blew it off.
No.
Didn't show up.
Didn't he try to make a whole scene about, like, I'm going to be a good teammate and I'll play where they need me?
Didn't show up, and Will Clark confirmed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let it be known, I was not someone stumping for Rafael Devers.
No, me neither. Good hitter, but that contract's brutal.
Well, it's a brutal contract, long term, a lot of money. He can't play third base. The worst defensive third baseman. So he doesn't solve that. And they like their flexible DH.
Yes.
I think there's better ways to upgrade this baseball team. Bring in Suarez. Where does Keith play? 300 average since June 1st.
There we go.
Can Keith DH?
That's the beauty of it. Like, it blows me away, and you made a great point. Like, Zach McKinstry is almost as valuable coming off the bench as a pinch runner, and then being able to take a spot defensively the very next inning, as he is to when he starts, right? Like, so you can add a guy and trust AJ Hinch to figure it all out, which he will, and I'm sure he would love to.
Rieger, the last great era of Tiger baseball ended in 2014 against the Baltimore Orioles. Do you remember who was at the plate for the final at bat? Because it wasn't Miguel Cabrera. It wasn't Victor Martinez. It wasn't any of the great sticks that they had in that era. Do you know who it was?
2014?
The last at bat.
The last at bat. Hold on a second. Was it Quinton Berry?
It's a good guess, the way I'm setting this up. It was Hernan Perez.
Oh, wow. Even worse.
So my thought here is...
Quinton Berry at least had a couple moments.
Have too many options. Have so many good options that it's not Hernan Perez.
Exactly. And now, to be fair, this team doesn't really have an Hernan Perez.
No, they're already a deep ball club, but get deeper, get better.
Yeah.
Why is that ever fought? You've dealt with this, and we deal with it sometimes. We say, hey, here's a name that may or may not be available. I think he makes the Detroit team better. And the response from a section of the fan base is, why do you hate our team?
Right. Like, what are you talking about? I'm trying to get better. But see, that's the thing. I get it, man. When you're good, and these are the best kind of teams, kind of like out of nowhere, the Tigers are so good, you fall in love with every piece of it, and you don't want to give up any piece of it. I also think there's a part of it where people are like, it's almost more impressive to win this way without adding things.
Okay, real quick. Let me say, you guys would expect Meadows and Vierling would be everyday players in the playoffs for the most part, right?
Assuming they get back to form.
Yes, yes.
But you just said a key word, assuming. These are both sub-600 OPS guys right now.
And I think some of it's explainable, but it is the unknown.
Meadows didn't play last night righty against a right-handed pitcher, right? Yeah. But Vierling did in center.
And didn't look very good.
I mean, Meadows is the one, to me, you would accept because of his defensive ability.
Yeah.
This Vierling thing, I know it's very early, but it's going to be interesting how that plays out. And what if he doesn't get it right and you do nothing at the deadline?
Is there a way to upgrade the Vierling spot of the roster? The answer right now is yes.
Yes, absolutely.
248-539-9797. Tigers manager AJ Hinch will join us at 8:02. A lot to talk to him about with the All-Star game right around the corner. If you missed the news today, Zach McKinstry, not the first reserve, Junior Caminero.
You did it wrong. No offense. I don't want to tell you how to do your own show.
What?
No, it's Boo Junior Caminero. He's at Comerica tonight. He took Zach's spot. You boo him.
What did I say?
You said something about like... Zach McKinstry.
Zach McKinstry's not the reserve.
Yeah, you got to lead with booing Caminero.
Boo. Okay.
Or yell at him. Heckle him. What rhymes with junior? Can we think of a good chant? Do you guys do that on this show?
Yeah, we do. We workshop. We work the people. Canvas the audience. We can do that.
I mean, we need to let Caminero hear it tonight.
Very cheesy. Boonier.
Boonier. Oh, I like that. Boonier. No, that doesn't work. No, that doesn't work.
We'll get AJ's thoughts on the All-Star festivities.
Maybe he'll come up with a chant.
Maybe he will. Top of the hour, AJ Hinch. Coming up next, a phenomenon in sports that we're trying to make sense of. It's 97.1. Tiger manager AJ Hinch is going to join us 8:02. Tigers are 25 games over 500 with the win last night.
It's unreal.
One went away from 60 before the All-Star break. They have four All-Stars, but not five. Junior Caminero replaces Alex Bregman, not Zach McKinstry.
I am curious, like, how far is McKinstry down in the pecking order? Like, if somebody else bows out and somebody could bow out and Jacob Wilson, as we heard, got injured, like, is McKinstry the next guy?
I know Benetti's done a sermon each of the last three ball games, and McKinstry's played well in those games, to be fair. He had a couple steals yesterday. He was great on the base paths on the Sunday win. He's at a homer in the stretch here. I think he should be an over Junior Caminero. What I don't want to do is act like, because I think Torque had a case, and I think Vest had a case, and I don't want to be the guy that whines because we didn't have seven All-Stars. But yeah, McKinstry's got a higher OPS than Caminero, a higher WAR than Caminero. McKinstry should be an over Junior Caminero. But it's the MLB All-Star game. I don't want to be the guy crying on the radio because we didn't get our fifth All-Star.
Well, the only difference is the power. I do think power is a big deal.
Then why isn't Torkin?
It's 21 homers to 7.
Okay, Tork's got 21 bombs more than any first baseman in the American League or baseball.
We're talking about third base right now.
I know, but I would argue power is a bigger premium at first. Why isn't Torkin?
That's fair. But power is a bigger premium at third base.
Excuse me. First base is more synonymous with power and for that to not be rewarded. Yes. But my point is, where does this get us? Like, I don't legitimately feel aggrieved, so I'm not going to play make-believe on the radio. If it bothers you guys, I'm not shaming you. You can call in and argue.
I want to hear from people if it bothers you.
If you're outraged, you may have seen last night, McKinstry is not the first replacement. It's Junior Caminero. And if you have a chant or a boo that you'd like the crowd to send a message to Caminero, Rieger wants you to
come
up with. I don't.
Come on. You're a very creative man.
I appreciate that. I don't have one. We'll get to AJ at 8:02. I don't think he's going to give us one either.
Probably not. Somebody needs to come up with some kind of chant for Junior Caminero. We're a great sports town.
Someone's going to come up with it on the ticket text in the next half hour.
There's going to be a big walk-up crowd. Tigers go for the sweep against the Rays.
So you said we're a great sports town, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
Why aren't we getting in on banana fever?
Oh, the banana ball.
So the ticket
prices.
Because
we got a good team.
Well, that's part of it. We have our baseball appetite satiated. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But have you seen the Savannah Banana Mania?
Yes.
So they've taken over our country. Banana ball is everywhere. Tickets, there's this wait list, and it's damn near $500 to get a ticket to some of these games.
It's an unbelievable feel-good story because the owner of the Banana Savannahs, or the Savannah Bananas, has like three teams.
Yeah.
Some are populated with former Major League players, and this guy was like on the cusp of going broke, and now his teams are like selling out arenas. So it's kind of cool, the story, but...
Yeah, he's the guy from Curious George,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He wears the all yellow with the hat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him in videos and stuff. Yeah, he's a banana. I don't know his name, but he's running a super successful business. On the secondary market, people are paying like $400, almost $500 for these seats.
For an exhibition.
For spoof baseball. Yeah. Not real baseball, spoof baseball. It feels ridiculous, but maybe, Rieger, that's the point.
Let's see.
Maybe that's why it's working, because they don't take themselves too seriously. Like, for people who don't know, banana ball is a two-hour hard time limit. Games won't go longer. There's no bunting. There's no walks. The batter can steal first base. If a fan catches a ball, it's an out.
Which is awesome, by the way.
It's a spoof of baseball. They have a golden bat rule where you can get one guy to come in at any point in the game when you so choose.
I like that rule, by the way.
In sudden death, there's no ties. It's pitcher versus batter with one fielder. You can pick where you want to put the fielder. It's the batter's job to round the bases when he makes contact with the ball.
Which is awesome.
It's a spoof of baseball. Yeah, they are not taking it seriously at all.
Of course not, but it's all rules that you think of while you're getting drunk or you're hanging out with your buddies. Like, hey, what if baseball was like this? They also bring a dude up on stilts.
I've seen that.
Yes, and the strike zone's insane.
They have not done a game at Comerica, but they have sold out pro football stadiums and baseball ballparks.
They were in West Michigan recently.
They were in West Michigan. Not the Bananas, but one of the other affiliates of the banana ball game.
Right, correct.
Is there demand here in Detroit? We'd sell out Comerica Park, right? They sell out every venue.
I mean, 43,000. Yes, probably.
Why is this working? 248-539-9797.
I have the answer.
Okay.
It's YouTube. It's YouTube, which everybody watches. I mean, if you have children, if you're a young person, YouTube is probably your go-to. And these videos are captivating enough. They package them perfectly. It's not about like the old stodgy baseball stuff. It's all these cool little rules. It's some guys that you know. It's a bunch of characters. It's fun to watch.
They're doing TikTok dances and choreographed moves.
Yes. It's a show, just like anything else. And that's why
it
works.
It's a show more than a sport.
Correct.
So is this like an expense you're going to see a play?
Kind of.
Without a scripted ending? It's like an improv, kind of?
Yeah.
It's like improv.
It's a baseball-themed play.
Yeah.
So that's why it works, I think. And I think
it appeals to, it doesn't appeal to the hardcore sports fan as much as
it's like. They're disgusted by it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a baseball fan, you're totally turned off by it.
It's a mockery.
But everybody else loves it.
Well, yeah, it's for your spouse who's not really into sports, or your kids who might think the dancer, the stilts guy is funny, and now you're at a ballpark.
You know what it's like? It's like the equivalent of going to Comerica Park, not really liking baseball, but you're like, oh my God, I'm in the big screen.
Yes.
Or like, oh my God, the shell game. It's two. Or it's like going to get a daiquiri. That's what it's the equivalent of. And if we're being completely honest, mm-hmm. the majority of people, we're not like this. We love sports too much, but the majority of people love that stuff. It's like that ancillary surface fun stuff, and that's what they do really well.
It is like if they made the wave the entire game.
Yes.
There are people who get caught up in the wave, but not even paying attention to what's going on in the ballpark. Wait, it's coming back around. We're going in reverse.
Yes. Oh, this is amazing. They're standing. They're sitting. It's amazing.
That section's letting us down. Like, they end up fighting with each other.
And you boo them?
Yes.
I think the banana balls should do that. Like, the nonstop wave. Like, I'm sure you've seen the guy, and I don't know if these guys exist at the baseball game anymore, but they're right in front of the crowd, and they're usually hammered, and they're like, 1, 2, and they're trying to start the wave.
Yeah.
And then if they don't, people get...
I've seen it.
That's like banana balls. Yeah. Have you been that guy?
What guy?
The start the wave?
No.
That guy's a loser. I mean, I appreciate The energy.
It bothers me more like at hockey games because hockey's so fast. The game's always moving. The last thing I want to be worrying about is whether the wave is going in the right direction.
Yeah, but again, it's not about you. Banana ball is not about the 10% of hardcore sports fans.
No, it's about
humanity.
It's the 90%.
Yeah.
It's the guy who's not taking sports too seriously. And I think there is a demand for that from people now. Like, there's avenues if you want the hardcore nuts and bolts of sports. I think most people just want to have a couple drinks and have a good time.
You know what it is like?
What?
You ever watch that show, America's Got Talent?
Yeah.
It's stupid, right? Yeah. Dumb show.
But that's the whole point. It's like reality TV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a cheap show to make. People tune in, and a guy sings, a guy tells jokes. I like the dogs that are trained.
Yeah.
It's mindless TV. That's what the banana ball is.
Mindless entertainment. I mean, there's no difference than like sitting in front of a TV for 10 hours playing college football 26.
Wow. Shots.
No, and I'm not taking a shot. It's just Jim doesn't like the Savannah banana fan might not sit there and do that but that's their outlet. It's an escape, and it doesn't. There's nothing on the line really. It's just you're lost in it for a couple hours,
that's
and you get
is.
Away from all the crap that sucks in the world.
That's what the key though is. There's nothing on the line, and maybe that's why I don't gravitate.
That's
towards
why I hate it. I want something to be in the line.
We're competing for something. It's competition. There's a winner and a loser. And I know there's a winner and a loser in this, but then what happens? They just play the net. It's the Harlem Globetrotters is what it is. And it might be fun for one time. That's the other thing.
It's the circus.
You see the circuses in town. You go and you see it one time. What I don't get is people like traveling and going to multiple games.
No, but see, why don't you get it though? Because it's the same as anything else. If you're a concert goer, you might follow the Grateful Dead on tour, right? You follow the Banana Ball people.
I guess.
Yeah, it's your thing.
Explain the phenomenon.
I think it's a cool story.
It's working. There's no doubt about it. This is working. They are making money hand over fist. This Curious George looking guy with the all yellow outfit. He's got all these wacky rules. He had a dream. He was a former minor league baseball guy. And that's where a lot of this starts, is these minor league promotions. And you go, what if that was just the whole sport? What if we took nothing seriously? What if it was all trick shots and made up rules and shenanigans? And it's a wild success.
Yeah, it's like those YouTube dudes that do all the trick shots. Who are they? They're huge.
Dude Perfect.
Dude Perfect, exactly.
It's like if those guys created a 4-team league and just played in sold out stadiums every single week.
Pretty much.
Why is this working? Do you enjoy this? Would you go if it was at Comerica Park?
Do you think the banana balls need to go get a bat?
Could he play banana ball? It's 97-1. Tiger manager AJ Hinch joins us at 8:02. Right now we're talking banana ball. Banana ball is sweeping the country with ticket prices over $400 to see a spoof of baseball. Just so ridiculous, it works. They don't have really a lot of the traditional baseball rules at all. They're doing choreographed dances and routines. There's dudes on stilts. They don't allow walks. They don't allow bunts. Fly ball in the outfield, foul ball caught by a fan, that's an out. Like, it's the Harlem Globetrotters meets TikTok meets ridiculous success. And we've asked why.
You know what it is? It's like when you watch something online, it captivates you and you go down the wormhole.
Yep.
That's what the banana ball has the ability to do. Here's what I'm sensing from you, though.
Oh, boy.
And I'm not like this. Okay. I'm much more lighthearted than you.
Yeah.
You seem angry at this.
I'm not angry.
Nah, you seem a little angry, a little perturbed by this, that the banana ball is having such great success when the average Detroiter, and it's not just simply Detroit, it's anywhere, the average person is not sitting down to watch Dodgers Mets on Sunday night.
No,
Jim Costa is.
I'm really only watching the Tigers.
Would go to banana ball. Or banana, yeah.
Okay, let me try to be a little better with my tone. I am not bringing this up to be accusatory. I am curious. I want to know what it is about these guys and this game and this spoof.
Stop staring at me.
That matters, that's fun to you. I think my theory is they don't take anything seriously at all.
Yes. Well, it's also
stuff
that
we like sports, and maybe this is just coming from it as the hardened sports fan, I like that it's a serious competitive endeavor when you go and watch your team play. I like that there's stakes when the Lions suit up, when the Tigers play a meaningful playoff game. Like, I like the stakes of sports. I like the competitive juices.
I agree.
There are zero competitive juices in banana ball.
No.
Zero.
But they are athletes.
They are.
And they do stuff that you never, ever thought you would see.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool, like how they end a game, as you mentioned.
Yeah, the idea that there's no tie. Sudden death is pitcher versus batter with one fielder, and you have to clear the bases.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's like an extreme version of the shootout in hockey.
Yeah, you hit a ball down the right field line, you get to run forever, and then you get to watch the outfielder run
scramble
to the ball.
And yeah.
It's good stuff. It's like...
I was just going to say, I'll bet you never got into wrestling as a kid.
There was a very brief spell in middle school, but I fell out of it quickly.
What was the turnoff?
I don't know, just...
Tights.
Predetermined outcome?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so I had spells where I really got into it hardcore, and I know I go a little old here, but like the whole New World Order, Hulk Hogan storyline back in the late 90s, dude, it was a male soap opera. I was so... Like, me and my friends, every night, Monday Night Nitro was a thing. We all got together, and it, like, when Hogan flipped and turned heel, it's like my heart almost dropped. And it was predetermined, but it didn't matter because I was so entertained.
Yeah, I think it was next. I remember I went to a Survivor Series at the Joe. There was a year where I got into wrestling, but I think you realize, like, oh, this is just canned.
You know what it was? You know what it's like? And Tom will remember this, and Jim won't. But there used to be these five softball dudes called King of the Court. Do you remember this, Tom?
No.
They were five dudes that would take on any softball team and beat them. They were that good. So they're missing four dudes, and they still won. I think that's why people watch. It's pretty much the equivalent of this.
Okay, so would you rather watch this or golf on a simulator like that, that new thing is on here? Because that's awful.
I enjoyed that.
But it's something's at stake.
Yeah, something's at stake. Golf on the simulator. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't not go to one of these games. I mean, at these prices, I don't think
You'd
I'd ever pay.
By it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Ticket Texter says I wouldn't pay $400 to go watch the Lions. I'm going to pay $400 to go watch Banana Ball.
Yeah, but it's an event. It's fun. It's a show. It's no different than going to a concert or a circus.
Well, that's maybe the key here. Is this is less sports and more like improv theater.
Right.
That's what this is. There's choreographed dances. There's not a determined outcome.
Like it's
but it's like improv in that way.
It's kind of perfect though, because you get the sports fans going because it's still pseudo sports.
It's like the yeah.
Right. And you get the
backdrop is a baseball ballpark.
Right. And you get the families.
Bats. Yeah.
And the kids are impressed and totally entertained.
And are you okay, if you're a guy
you're
out
so
there,
annoyed.
Who I'm trying to like justify it in my head. Maybe you're like, I want to get my kid hooked on baseball, and I think it's a steep climb. Like, he's not playing Little League, but I want him to watch baseball with me, and maybe the best thing to do is to take him to a Bananas game.
No. See, you're not a parent, so let me school you very quickly.
Okay.
It's 2 hours of your kid being entertained. That's okay. That's all.
But you don't have to entertain your kid
right.
for that time.
Yes, exactly. And maybe you're entertained.
Yeah, maybe you are. Ticket Texters. It's the Harlem Globetrotters reinvented. It's cyclical. It won't be as popular once the newness wears off, but it's fun while it lasts.
It's been going on for a while, I feel, though.
Yeah. Bananas remind me of the movie Semi-Pro. They're practicing their dances more than they practice the sport. Banana Ball is entertainment like WWE. That's the best comparison for it. Mike and Canton says they got started on TikTok. They got their hype with the dances, and then they'd bring them to the younger audiences.
They used to do the games on YouTube. Like, they used to broadcast them on YouTube, and now they're way too big for that.
Was just at the Louisville Slugger Museum. Half the kids said their favorite team was the Bananas.
How's that make you feel, Jim?
Slugger Museum all in had Bananas bats all over Trey in Ann Arbor. You like want me to be set off by this.
I do.
It's just not for me.
I do.
It doesn't have to be an indictment on society or
could
these
you imagine,
young
though?
Kids. They like what they like.
Could you imagine you take like a 9-year-old kid to a banana game and then you take them to a Tiger game? They'd be
like,
bored by the Tiger
I'm
game.
Bored by the Tiger yeah. game. That's what they tell
Daddy,
you.
Daddy, where's the guy on stilts? Wait, this is not how you end a game.
Why is this taking so long? What's a walk? Why is he bunting? It's boring.
Exactly.
248-539.
Why are you so angry?
So much standing around. 248-539-9797. Banana Ball's the new Harlem Globetrotters. That's from Grand Valley Joe. I don't need dancing when I watch sports. I'd rather spend my money at Tiger games. This is that classic, you know,
that's
sports
your kind
fan.
Of guy, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm getting pinned. You also prefer regular baseball to Banana Ball.
Well, if I had to choose, for sure. But I
like how you've done a very good job sliding
in
and just putting all the spotlight on me.
It's this chair. The smarm is kind of easy to make fun of.
I try not to be smarmy with this. I'm not trying to be accusatory.
It's coming through.
I'm curious why this has resonated the way it did. Quick phone call.
Yeah.
Michelle in Brighton, you're on 97.1.
Hi. So I did go to a game in Cincinnati, and I'm from here, like I'm a Tigers fan. So we drove down there for the weekend. But I think it's because their motto is fans first, and the entire game, there's just a lot of engagement. So I feel like it's very family friendly. And if you don't get the tickets on the black market, they're actually affordable for families to go to as well.
Oh
yeah. The initial purchase is much more affordable. I've seen that.
What is the initial purchase? Like 20, 30 bucks?
I think so. I mean, a friend of ours got the tickets, so I think they're about 35.
Oh yeah. That's not bad at all.
That's nice.
No.
And then also when we were there was a kid in our section who had his hair done exactly like their second baseman, and the player before the game literally came into the stands, grabbed the kid and took him down onto the field and played catch with him and like some of the players.
So they're going the extra mile.
I feel like,
they're delivering for the fans. They're making lifelong fans.
That's awesome.
That's a feel good story.
That's cool.
Got AJ Hinch coming up next, 97.1.